The lesson today is taken from Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 to 12. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out of this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against us, against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Jesus said, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty praises as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." The Gospel of Christ.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Jesus, you have shared your prayer with us and have adopted us as brothers and sisters into your holy, Catholic, and apostolic church through our faith and baptism. Reveal to us the deeper meaning and wisdom which you have entrusted to us in these words. Teach us through your most holy Spirit. We ask in your name. Amen. I remember being in public school during the 1980s, shortly after my confirmation in Christ Church Anglican Meaford. It's interesting because I remember how deeply refreshing it was to say the Lord's Prayer aloud in school following the national anthem, how it renewed my spirit, reoriented my thinking, and drew me into a deeper sense of peace that everything was going to be okay and everything which I needed would be there for me. I also remember sitting in class the first day of grade 8, as the teachers talked about the year ahead and the benchmarks for academic success, of which I was not the best student, or at least I was unaware of my latent abilities. But on this particular day, they previewed the Meaford Community School's school letter, an uppercase golden M with a blue border on a white background. And I remember silently thinking to myself how I would love to earn a school letter. Well, from that moment, something changed. I had a desire to do well in school, which had not been there before. Maybe it was the goal of the school letter, but somehow I doubt that that was the motive force behind my renewed interest in academics. At the time, I didn't think to connect this with the laying on of hands I had received at my confirmation and the awakening of God's Spirit within me. Regardless, I went from D's and C's to A's over the coming months. And in my excitement, I began comparing and sharing my success with friends who had always done better than I. Innocently, I thought that they would be excited for me. But I was wrong. Dead wrong. And then the bullying started. The bullying at first didn't seem to affect me, as I was stained in the daily practice of the Lord's Prayer and church on Sundays. I remember Christ teaching on turning the other cheek, forgiving the offenses as best I could, but over time it started to erode my sense of self. I knew that God had my back, but my close friends had become enemies of a kind. Now, I know this sort of thing happens all the time, every day in our society, in all walks of life, and it is wrong. While the victimizers never see the damage they inflict, it is still there. Trauma. It changes us. It deprives us of our right to wellness. It denigrates our trust in the other, our friends, relatives, families, and ourselves. Trust is at the very heart of our communal life, our family life, our Christian lives. Trust is love. Trust is truth. Trust is justice, peace, hope, and faith. And when it is crushed, it is very hard to mend. But even before this, I was already deeply wounded. How, you might ask? Well, I'm an adopted individual. Now, while we are all adopted by Christ through our baptisms, it is not the same as being adopted by people. God doesn't make mistakes. People do. An adopted individual, while they can celebrate the new family they have been engrafted into, they have at the heart of their being, their core, a primal wound in the separation from the birth mother. In the absence of genetic mirroring, it is challenging to create stable bonds, which are so essential during the first 3 years of an infant's life. For myself, growing up, I never felt like I truly belonged anywhere, and I kept that part of myself secret. Left undisturbed, it was fine. I could bear it. But it left me with a deep mistrust of people, not just my parents, but friends, and perhaps even God. At the heart of our verse today is the concept of trust. Trust that God is and has our best interests at heart. Trust that he truly is who he says he is. Not only that, but that his Son, Jesus Christ, is who he says he is, the Son of God. We say this prayer, these verses, expecting to receive in faith our daily needs. If you look at verse 8, we will see it says, "For your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And then we praise him. We place ourselves under his authority and kingship. We begin our prayer by remembering the covenant promise to love God with all that we are, all that we have, and to love those around us, our neighbors, as ourselves. King David in Psalm 139 speaks of God's knowledge of us when he writes, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, you know it altogether." Isn't this astonishing? That God knows us so well that he knows our thoughts before we have spoken them aloud. God is so other from us, it is hard to fathom his being, his always existence. And then we move into the position in verse 11 when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." So, here are all the disciples sitting around, talking with Jesus, God incarnate as man. And then one of them gets the bright idea to finally ask Jesus how they should pray. Imagine, they have been with him for a year, maybe two now, and they are just asking this question. Why do you think that is? Well, I suspect that they have watched many miracles Jesus has performed through the prayer, and they want to achieve similar results in their prayer life, right? Who wouldn't? But these opening words of the petition are bold. "Give us." It could almost be seen as a command. A command? Really? Perhaps. Perhaps not. But we need to remember that the Son of God is teaching us to pray to his Father in heaven as he would. And that is a different kind of relationship, right? You've asked your parents for things, yes? At some point in your life, you've made a request for money or the car or something which you need. And knowing that your parents love you, you expect to receive what you have asked for, if it is reasonable and it lines up with the parenting style which they have established. So too God, as our parent, our Father in heaven, also wishes to relate to us in a similar manner. We see in our Old Testament reading from Exodus 16 today that God fully intended to meet the needs of his chosen people of Israel in the wilderness of sin experience. The whole people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, wishing that they had stayed in Egypt and at least died with full stomachs, not to starve to death in the wilderness, far from the perceived safety of their previous enslavement. Then in verse 4 of Exodus 16, the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." So, the Lord heard the grumbling of his people and provided for them. Now, their grumbling might have been an intelligible form of prayer, but I'm betting that Moses and Aaron were praying for God's provision also. We can see God delivers their daily bread from heaven. But there is a condition in that the Lord is looking to see if they will walk in his ways or not. Moses is instructed to tell the people to gather enough manna, the bread of heaven, which fell the preceding night in the morning, just enough to meet the needs of the day. They were not to take more or to keep it overnight, or it would spoil and become maggoty. However, when it came to the sixth day, the Israelites were instructed to gather enough for the sixth day and following Sabbath, or day of rest. What they collected, they boiled or baked as instructed, which did not rot on the day of rest, but sustained them as God had promised. Here the people of God are called to the simple practice of obedience. They are called to trust. Will they do as Yahweh instructs or not? Will they trust God or not? In the desert, they ate manna for 40 years before they finally came to the land God had promised for them. 40 years of trust building. 40 years in which to make mistakes and be reminded of their covenant with God. Remember, God doesn't make mistakes. People do. But it also makes me think of my daily prayer in grade 8, which sustained me when I was bullied. What if, give us this day our daily bread, is a cry for strength amidst hardship or grief or sadness or confusion? What if the plea, give us this day our daily bread, was about really simple stuff, like having enough toilet paper during the current COVID-19 pandemic, or enough canned goods or tissue paper? But what if our response to crisis is panic? What if we are unaware that God has already promised to take care of all our needs? How could we respond? We might respond in fear of lacking, fear of not having our needs met. We might begin to act irrationally in that climate and become self-involved and forget that we are to share all we have, both with God and our neighbor. In the midst of our lack of scarcity, as our supply chains for goods remain uninterrupted, we might be seen in an unfavorable light by others in need around us. In a worldly view, this behavior might make sense, but can we honestly say that this is in the best interest of ourselves and others? Would God say the same thing to us in this present global crisis as he did to the Israelites in the desert, to collect only enough supplies for our daily needs? However, we also see in the nation of Israel a deep mistrust of God in this situation. They are concerned that they have made a terrible mistake in following Moses into the desert, away from the familiarity of their Egyptian captors. And while it seems right, they too are suffering from the trauma of their enslavement. Yes, part of their daily bread, part of their deep need, as seen and anticipated by God, is their freedom from the oppression of Egypt. You see, asking for our daily bread is about more than simply food. It's about meeting all of our earthly needs. It makes me wonder about my own life's journey in the wilderness of my teenage years. From the age of about 16 to into my early 30s, I wandered around in the wilderness of this world. I started drinking and smoking and partying. I became depressed and began to believe the lies of my tormentors, both the physical and the spiritual. My daily needs, met by the work of my hands and the provision of my family and friends, sustained me, or so I thought, but not in any truly whole and substantial way, I fear. I grumbled a lot and was angry, and I spent my time and my money foolishly, and I am sure that God was waiting for me to see if I would once again live into my gospel call in this life. My good grades and dreams slipped away. Yet, during this time, I found I could trust him again as he brought good Christian friends and mentors into my life to model for me the right way to respond to the love that had been gifted me through his Holy Spirit. So you see, God was rebuilding my trust in him, like he was building trust with the Israelites in the desert, like Jesus was building trust with his disciples when he shared this method of prayer with them and with us. But you see, there is something more to the nature of Jesus and his prayer, and that is that Jesus is the bread of life. We celebrate this fact when we take part in the Eucharist here at Little Trinity Anglican Church. When, through the prayer of consecration, when the priest reenacts the Last Supper, we hear the priest recount Jesus' words. when in the same night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the consecration of the bread and wine and its consumption, we are trusting Jesus to nourish us mentally, physically, and spiritually. We who are here this morning within the walls of Little Trinity share the frustration that we cannot be with you in person to take part in the Eucharist at this time. But we know that God's Spirit in our hearts, we are with you wherever you find yourselves this morning. For we are all one body in Christ. During this Lenten season, as we allow God to search our hearts, as we allow the healing work of his Son, Jesus, to penetrate our very being, through the inward reorienting work of his Holy Spirit, let us seek to call out to our Father in heaven, asking for our needs, for healing, for the healing of others, for our needs to be met, but also from our abundance, our time, our money, our talents, and gifts, that we might have the courage to share with others those who have nothing. For as the early church knew, as is demonstrated in the ancient Christian writings known as the Didache, a collected teachings of first century Christianity, it is our bound and duty to do so. I mentioned at the beginning of this message that it was the Lord's Prayer that sustained me in grade 8. Every day I would meet God briefly in his word, and I would find his strength to meet the challenges of the day. Through the encouragement of teachers and family members, I found my daily bread was being provided by God with a deep sense of wonder and curiosity, but also with a deep desire to serve others through art and music, team sports, and words of encouragement to those of my classmates who struggled too with the awkwardness of that time in our lives. Little by little, everything improved. The bullying persisted. But I didn't surrender to it because the pull of the Spirit inspired me to be diligent in seeking my daily bread. D's changed to C's. C's transformed into B's, and B's into A's. In the wilderness, the Israelites, under the leadership of Moses and Aaron, led a transformation of the people of God. In their daily hardship, they learned to ask God for their daily needs. Though they grumbled, they remained diligent to God's plan as they gathered food, ate, wandered, paused, rested, fasted, and praised the Lord. They grew to rely on God in the midst of all their hardship and suffering, as I did. On the final day of grade 8, graduation day, during the awards ceremony, the principal of the school began to discuss one of the school's most prestigious awards for the most improved student overall. This award went beyond a school letter. The R.D. Aspinall Award was for an excellence that grew out of unexpected soil. I sat in stunned silence as my name was called. My best friend to the right of me brought me back to reality as he encouraged me to mount the stage. The primary bully, seated in the row in front of me, stared in dismay. The auditorium was filled with applause as I crossed the stage to receive the Aspinall Award and an engraved gold bracelet, my name engraved on a plaque amongst the names of previous recipients, and finally, too, a school letter. a bold, uppercase, golden M surrounded by a blue background on a white background. Daily bread provided by God and accepted by me in faith transformed my existence from that of subsistence to abundance in Him. It is this daily trust that allows us to know God truly. For as God says to His people through Moses and Aaron in Exodus 16, verse 12, "At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." Let our suffering not turn us away from God or one another. As the Israelite trial in the desert or the bullying in grade 8 sought to destroy a dependence on God. Rather, let us with humble and penitent hearts turn our eyes to the cross and to our Savior Jesus Christ, and let us pray again. Give us this day our daily bread. God has made known to us that He is the Lord through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of His Son, our bread from heaven. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, through the bread of your presence, which is the life and truth of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, grant that we may always remember, by the breaking of bread at your table, that all we have and all we receive for our daily needs are a gift from you. May we trust you without anxiety or reservation in your care, love, and provision for us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've just listened to a podcast from Little Trinity Church in Toronto. Please check out our website at www.littletrinity.org to find out more about our ministries and services.